what the G8 leaders will be talking about and what they might actually do something about that somebody would actually notice as a result of their two-day talks, which start near Enniskillen later today. Joining us, our economics correspondent, Sean Whelan. From where exactly, Sean?
I'm in Enniskillen at the media centre at the Killyhevlin Hotel, which is about 10 kilometres from the actual summit meeting venue. But that's security for you folks. It's as close as anybody is going to get unless you get put onto a special bus and brought over to meet the leaders by appointment only.
Now, the most urgent topic, obviously, and there have been already some talks about this, is the bloodshed in Syria. What can we expect, if anything, on Syria?
What it looks like they're going to do is to try and bring President Putin of Russia around to at least agree to some kind of a talks process, some kind of a peace talks process about Syria, which they're hoping to get jacked up in Geneva, I think, towards the end of this month. Obviously, we saw the language being deployed by Stephen Harper of Canada last night in Dublin, talking about thugs backed by Russia fighting for the Assad regime. And then President Putin counterblasting, talking about cannibalism and civilization last night in London. So the two sides very far apart. Obviously, there was some tic-tacking going on, a video conference last Friday between the EU4 plus President Obama to try and, I presume, coordinate a position of what they're going to say to Mr. Putin. And so he will be expecting some kind of an ambush when he walks into the room today. But being an old KGB man, I'm sure he'll be well able to handle it. I don't think there's any thing to be gained by them beating him up too much, because they do have to try and get him and his surrogates, the Syrians, into a room around a negotiating table to see if they can agree some kind of a peace formula for Syria. But I think there will be a lot of tough talking today. It is a very intractable situation. The sides are very, very far apart, and the situation on the ground is, of course, appalling and just getting worse.
Now, with so many world economies in trouble, or in recession or close to it, one of the obvious possibilities of progress here, and something where a door seems to be opening on more on progress towards an EU-US trade deal. Before we come to that, I know you've been talking to the new American US trade representative, Mike Froman, who underlined how seriously the US takes the potential for this deal when he met with EU trade ministers in Dublin in April.
This is important economically. It goes to the heart of the issue of the competitiveness of our economies, our capacity not only to create efficiencies and save costs and promote growth and create jobs, but also to bring our economies together in such a way as to create the possibility for the two of us to help to lead the way in setting global rules and to set standards. But this is more than an exercise in trade policy. It's more than an economic initiative. It is equally a political project, not entirely different than the political project you all have been undertaking in creating the single market. Both involve making tough decisions, finding ways to bridge historical differences in the way we've done things as part of a larger vision. And as our national security advisor, Tom Donilon, made clear in a Wall Street Journal article this week, this is as much a strategic initiative as it is an economic initiative. We have a strong alliance, and this agreement will further strengthen it.
And that's U.S. Trade Representative Mike Froman, not an interview, as I might have indicated there, but speaking during those talks with EU trade ministers in Dublin, which in April. Now, things have moved on since then, and a real possibility, which I presume will be something the Americans and the Europeans will want to push further on in Enniskillen.
Definitely, because this EU trade and transatlantic trade and investment partnership, as it's known, TTIP in the jargon, this has been under discussion for a very long time. But the Irish presidency of the EU has brought it to a position whereby they can now actually launch it today at this G8 summit. And it will be one of the things that the Taoiseach will be actively involved in here, along with the European Commission and Council and the European Forum. Plus President Obama, they will actually give this now the political imprimatur. But those talks could have hit the buffers on Friday at a meeting of EU trade ministers in Luxembourg, because the French have been for a long time now insisting that television, film and music industries, and possibly also digital applications of those media, obviously things involving internet trade, should be excluded from these talks. Getting around that proved to be a very, very difficult subject. Minister Bruton finally was able to broker an agreement on that on Friday, and that was the last roadblock out of the way. And that was a very, very important, politically very important achievement of the Irish presidency, and may well be looked back on as one of the more important, if not the most important, achievements of this presidency. This trade deal, the potential of it is quite enormous. As you say, all the economies are around the world pretty smashed, certainly in the Western world, looking for some kind of a lift, some kind of a stimulus. A trade agreement between the two biggest economies on the planet is being seen by leaders on both sides as effectively a cash-free economic stimulus. There's been various figures bandied around about how much of an economic lift it could produce, how many jobs it could produce. The European Commission suggesting it could increase output, economic output, by 0.5% of GDP. Doesn't sound like very much, but if your average trend growth is in and around 2%, you're looking at a very substantial lift to economic growth, about 400,000 jobs, they estimate. But a new report from the German Economic Forecasting Institute, IFO, this morning, looking at more than 2 million jobs being added as a result of what they call a deep liberalisation that would involve quite a substantial shake-up in the trade patterns around Europe. That would be something that might be looked on with some concern in Ireland, because obviously if you can make stuff in America and put it straight into the European market, why do you need factories in countries like Ireland or England or anywhere else? But according to the IFO report, Ireland would come out on the right side of that line, that we would still be ahead of the average growth lift that a transatlantic trade deal would give to the economies of Europe.
Now, Sean, to sum up the question that I think most people will want to hear your answer to and probably cross their fingers over the next couple of days, corporate tax avoidance, and what might be done about it, if anything, and the fact that the Taoiseach will be there. Should we be worried? Should he be worried?
I don't think he should be particularly worried. Obviously, there are pressures to clamp down on tax evasion in particular. Nobody likes that. It's tantamount to a criminal activity. And also aggressive tax avoidance. They think that there are too many schemes going on that is depriving too many governments of too much revenue. And you know, there seems to be a general agreement that something ought to be done. The problem is agreeing on what that something is. A lot of it revolves around not the tax rates of countries. So I think fears for the 12.5% rate that Ireland charges, for example, in corporation tax would be pretty much misplaced. I don't think anybody's after that tax rate. It's all of the other complicated stuff that only high-end lawyers and accountants seem to understand and can figure it out. Things to do with the double taxation treaties. These were treaties that arose after World War One, primarily to avoid double taxation between countries, so you wouldn't be taxed twice on one set of earnings. They have evolved. There's several thousand of them now around the world, but there's so many loopholes and gaps between all of these treaties that people talk nowadays not about no double taxation, but double no taxation. The companies are able to exploit these loopholes and effectively pay no tax to anybody anywhere. And of course, governments are trying to put an end to that because they need the cash, they would argue, more than the companies do. The real forum for dealing with this very, very complicated matter is the OECD. The boss of that, Angel Gurría, is here at the summit. He'll be giving leaders, I think, a heads up on a report that that organisation is due to present to the wider group, the G20 meeting in Russia next month. And it's the G20 that will be the real key forum for progressing this issue of trying to deal with tax, because you're bringing in more countries that cover pretty much all of the economies that count in the world today, and where most of the tax flows are generated from. So it's that G20 forum is going to be the really important one. But obviously, if you can get this group of eight to throw their weight behind it, that will help the G20 process. I think from Ireland's point of view, they won't have to worry about what happens with the tax rate, but they should be in there fighting to make sure that they don't come out of the ruck on the wrong side when a big shake-up will probably eventually happen in taxation rules.
Sean Whelan in Enniskillen, thank you very much. 24 minutes past 8.